Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 40% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Spiegel & Company. Afternoons on the Score.
This whole process is a flawed process. It's not totally fair. To think you know this kid after a 15-minute interview and watching him run another offense with another coach and trying to compare, you know, this guy won this many games against ranked opponents. This guy didn't. This guy has this many fourth quarter comebacks. This guy doesn't. I mean, it's all just at the end of the day, are you comfortable with him? Do you want him in your locker room? Is he going to make the teammates around him better? Can he get the job done? Can he execute what you're asking him to do? And when you watch Caleb, you see some of the most spectacular, and people use the word awesome way too much, but awesome, electrifying plays I have ever seen any quarterback make at any level.
Damn, that's the kind of stuff that got us all giddy, that made us run screaming into the breach, expecting that this would be a different kind of Bears experience from the jump. That mixed with the CJ Stroud success and, you know, a little bit of Russell Wilson success with the Legion of Boom. But it's not going that way after 2 weeks. That is the voice of Mark Sanchez, who does a fine job on Fox TV and worked on the opener, the Bears against the Titans, with friend of the show Adam Amin. And I'm not sure exactly when that was from. The offseason, I would assume. Right after the pro day. So here we are on Spiegel & Company. Spiegel & Company with me, Spiegs, and him, Dan Wiederer. Dan, could you say Spiegel & Company in a high voice real quick?
Spiegel & Company.
I don't know if that's useful.
What? Let me be the decider of that.
Sorry,
yes,
about that.
It's absolutely useful.
Sorry about that. Yeah, Teddy, enjoy that.
Dan, one more time.
Spiegel & Company.
That's even better.
All right, now just a little bit quicker.
Yeah.
Spiegel & Company.
Yeah, there we go. That's very
perfect.
Nice.
Thank you.
Now we're not going to be able to tell that from Ruthie's or from Grody's or from anybody's or from the original Skibbity Bobbity. Did you see, by the way, somebody tweeted at us? He found a Skibbity IPA. Found a beer at one would assume a liquor store,
yeah,
called Skibbity IPA. And so is there a Boppity lager that maybe like Skibbity?
I hope so.
Skibbity and a Boppity. Skibbity Boppity.
Hey, you get tight head. Together. Stop making beers with that dumbass long snapper. Let's make a Boppity IPA. Boppity lager.
Boppity lager.
Yeah.
We need one as quickly as possible. All right. So Mark Sanchez, a former USC kid who was a top 5 pick, played as a rookie quarterback in a big market. Lot of comparables with Caleb Williams there.
Also played for a defensive-minded head coach with a very good defense for a team that was in a position to contend for a playoff berth his rookie year. So he knows a lot of the experience that Caleb Williams is going through. He was also here in 2017 as, in his words, a coach in cleats for Mitch Trubisky to kind of mentor him through the early stages of his career. And so the perspective that Sanchez has on everything that is coming Caleb Williams' way and has already come his way is invaluable. For me, I think some of the things that he talks about is acclimating to the league from an emotional standpoint. He said, look, like I came in my rookie season, got off to a 3-0 start in New York. The entire city thinks you're the next Joe Namath already. You're the number 5 pick in the draft. You're the Rose Bowl MVP. You come in and you start 3-0 and you're riding this high. Like, this is awesome. Like, you know, like this life is something I could get used to for 20 years. And then the Jets lost 5 of their next 6.
I remember those early heady days of watching Sanchez. And I think there was a Vanity Fair spread.
GQ, I believe.
GQ. So a GQ fashion spread where Mark Sanchez, New York quarterback with the shirt undone, maybe the shirt off entirely. I forget what it was, but some seriously heady times. And just to backtrack for a second, this is, you developed a relationship with Mark Sanchez when he was here in 2017, yeah. And you've got some stuff that you talked to him about a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, so
right?
we talked a few days before the season opener. He had just come into Chicago, and we got on the phone one night that week just to talk a little bit more in depth about some of the perspective he brings to this conversation, to, you know, just kind of help inform it a little bit.
And that's so excellent.
So you have this situation, right? Like you're 3-0, and then you feel like you're riding as high as you possibly can, and then you lose 5 of your next 6 in New York, and all these people that thought you were the savior a month ago suddenly think you're the problem. He said, look, like that was the lowest I've ever felt as an athlete, you know, and so you're dealing with that on a personal level, and then you're trying to silo yourself away from the noise, much like Caleb is probably trying to do this week, mm-hmm. and trying to do all that at 22 years old when you've never really been through any life experience that has readied you for something like this. And he just said the emotional toll of that is pronounced, you know, and you have to have a certain level of mental fortitude to kind of get through that. Now, look, the Jets recovered after that losing skid. They ended up playing in the AFC Championship game when Sanchez was a rookie and going back to the playoffs the next year as well.
Back-to-back championship games, right?
Yeah.
I think so. Back-to-back AFC Championship games.
But he said also the history part is something that you can't run from either because the fan base, this was his description, he said it feels like there's all this bottled-up negativity that is just sitting there, and they're just, you know, it takes one bad throw or one bad game or one bad loss to just kind of pop the cork on that, and then all of a sudden there's this flood of negativity in your world that you weren't dealing with. I feel like we're kind of a little bit in that space this week with the Bears coming off the performance. It wasn't the loss on Sunday. It was the performance offensively, I think, that has jostled some nerves here in Chicago. I think you'd probably agree with
that. Well, yeah.
There were boos in the opener, weren't there?
Yeah, there were a couple.
There were, yeah.
There were a couple. Those boos were for the offense as a whole, if not for Caleb specifically. Did anybody get a chance to talk to him about the boos, by the way? Did he comment on it or anything like that? Yeah, it's interesting. Sanchez got angry and petulant a couple of times. I'm trying to think when that happened.
With the media?
Yeah, with the media. And then there was the Hard Knocks. When the Rex Ryan Hard Knocks was a Mark Sanchez Hard Knocks, and he did not respond well to the offensive coordinator, Matt Kavanaugh, I believe.
Was it Kavanaugh?
I believe.
He was there with Schottenheimer at some point.
Yeah.
Brian Schottenheimer.
Yeah. Right. So it might have been Brian Schottenheimer if it wasn't Matt Kavanaugh. But there was definitely some Sanchez looking down. I remember thinking, like, this is not going well for Mark Sanchez in a moment like that.
What year was that? I don't recall the year on that. We'll have to check
that
out.
Yeah.
But, you know, the other part of this that I think is really interesting is the idea of playing for a defensive-minded coach with a really strong defense, because you're sort of trying to do two things at once, which is develop a young quarterback and give him the experiences that's going to totally catalyze and push him forward as a NFL quarterback, mm-hmm. and yet you're also trying to live in the now and win the game, you know? And so sometimes those are at cross purposes there of not allowing your quarterback to spread his wings and, you know, expose him to potential failure because you're trying to win that week's game because you have playoff aspirations at the line. And that's difficult for an entire organization to manage. He said, look, like you have to sort of decide organizationally what you want to do. Do you want to win now, or do you want to win for a long time? And when you make that decision and set your bullseye, you kind of have to reverse engineer philosophically what you're going to do and stay wedded to that, even when the push and pull of a specific stretch of games or a game in particular is kind of pushing you in the direction of doing something else.
Wow.
You know? That's challenging, right? Like I can see your brain twisting with that a little bit as well.
Absolutely. Let's sit in that for a second. You're right. It was Schottenheimer, not Kavanaugh. So Mark Sanchez and Brian Schottenheimer. But let's sit in that for a minute. Do you want to win now or do you want to win for a long time? Because if you're wanting to win for a long time, so what's he intimating there in terms
sometimes
of
you
what
have,
you teach the quarterback?
Sometimes you have to allow your quarterback to experience things that are failure-oriented, right? Like you have to have the ball in his hands in the fourth quarter of a game instead of saying, you know, we're going to run it the entire quarter and try to get out of here with a win. Well, you now have taken away an experience of trying to be inside of a fourth quarter, right? Like, so there are a lot to this. There's no blame or retroactive reasoning for why things didn't materialize into this Hall of Fame career for Mark Sanchez. But I think that's a fascinating development. He refers to a game in his second season in Detroit a lot for multiple reasons. They go to Detroit and Stafford and him were classmates in the draft. I think Stafford went one, Mark went five. And so there's a lot of hype going into that game in year two. And he said Rex told him the week of that game, we are going to run the ball 40 times. Whether you like it or not, we're going to run the ball 40 times in this game. And he said, well, like at that point, my preparation was let me study the run checks every night this week to make sure that I know what we're trying to get into against certain looks and trying to run the ball. And then he said there's a point in that game, they're down 20 to 10 in the fourth quarter. And Rex said, all right, we got two choices here. We're either going to get to 40 runs in this game or we're going to go try to win this game. What do you want to do? And he said, I hope this is a rhetorical question because I want to go try to win this game. Mm-hmm. They end up coming back, rallying, scoring 10 points in the fourth quarter, going to overtime and winning on a field goal in overtime with an experience that then allowed you to kind of play a little bit more free by necessity. But if they were winning that game 20 to 10, maybe you're playing the game a little bit differently. So there is a tug of war going on at all times between the people making the decisions, the people wanting to play a certain style, and then ultimately the quarterback having to figure out how they fit within that entire world.
Man, that's good stuff. Dan Weider are talking about things he got from Mark Sanchez. And I'm thinking about Rex Ryan and him talking to the quarterback and saying, hey, by the way, we're going to run it 40 times. Great stuff from Dave Wanstead this morning on Mully and Haw, where he was talking about how this is a week where the head coach has to step up on the offensive coordinator. If you really think as a head coach that you need to run it like crazy against the Colts because of what their run defense is and because your offensive line is getting exposed and all the reasons we've been talking about, then you step up and make sure that happens. You don't let your offensive coordinator make the changes and then trust him. You step up and get involved and be the freaking boss this week.
I subscribe to that 1,000%. You're in charge. You know, you're in charge. They gave you this new lease on life in January to be the head coach of the Chicago Bears and to be the overseer of this prize prospect in Caleb Williams. And so you have every responsibility into making sure you get things going offensively the way that they need to get going before any of this starts becoming more amplified noise with what we're already dealing with one loss to an opponent that everyone picked you to lose against to begin with.
Because let's be honest, the head coach's ass is going to be on the line if this doesn't work. I don't believe that Matt Eberflus gets to hire a second offensive coordinator.
I certainly don't think so. No,
right?
not after running the whole staff out other than Jim Dre and Chris Morgan last January. I couldn't envision that scenario.
I mean, the way that the NFL functions these days, if this is a 6-win team or a 7-win team with a terrible offensive season or like trends that you're really worried about, you know, you're running out not just the offensive coordinator, you're running out the head coach too.
I wrote something to that effect in the Matt Eberflus story I did leading into week one, where it's nobody walks into week one considering worst case scenarios, but until worst case scenarios are off the table, they still give you that anxiety. And I can feel you kind of working through that anxiety on what if what we saw in week two becomes the norm, right? What if we see that 10 more times for the remainder of the season? What if the quarterback doesn't get unlocked? What if some of the damage that he takes physically and mentally through struggle persist? We're way too soon to be saying any of that is probable, much less realistic, but it's still possible, you know, and in that case, you have to start thinking in the back of your head, what does that mean? What are the ramifications of that?
Yeah.
You don't want to live in that space if you're working inside the walls at 1920 Football Drive. You can't live in that space mentally because it'll drive you crazy. But you better understand the stakes, I think, is the best way to put it. Is there's a lot at stake in this season. It doesn't have to be a division championship year. It doesn't have to be a playoff year. But you have to show clear-cut direction and clear-cut progress from the quarterback who has been, you know, anointed as a guy who can be your starting quarterback for the next 12 to 15 years.
It does happen, and this is certainly what I was thinking was going to happen, and maybe it still will. We could look back in a little while and say this did happen here, that it does happen that a quarterback will have a run-heavy team during his first couple of years, and that is the way they should succeed because the defense is good and because he's learning the league and he's not sitting on the bench for two or three years like they do in Green Bay. Or, you know what I mean? He's actually playing and running your team as best he can.
Yep.
And then eventually, two or even 3 years in, the offense begins to bloom because he has figured things out. We have seen this. We've used the Brady example a ton of times with that.
Yeah, right.
I always mention Antoine Smith, like leading them through 100%. those first couple of years. A texter brings up Ben Roethlisberger, who goes undefeated for the Steelers at 13-0 in 13 starts and 14 games.
That's a great reference.
In 2004, he threw for 2,600 yards as that team went undefeated. The next year, they go 9-3. He threw for 2,300 yards and just kind of managed the game as the Steelers won and made the playoffs. And then he goes on the run that he went on, where eventually, it's not till year six that he throws for 4,000 yards. Not till year six, he throws for 4,300, ends up doing that six different times, including a 5,000-yard season in 2018. So there you go. That's a great example of how it can be done if the culture and defense and organization is solid enough.
Right. That evolution process is tricky. It's complicated, and there's a lot of factors that sort of knock it off course, you know? And so you have to be able to manage that on an everyday basis. Two other things that Sanchez told me that I found fascinating. Number one was one that echoed a sentiment that someone expressed to me last January when the Bears were deciding their future. And it was essentially to the point of, once they decide to draft a quarterback at number one overall, every single person in the building has to understand that they work directly for that quarterback. And so everyone that works for the Bears right now in football operations is basically, catering to Caleb Williams.
I remember learning that lesson in terms of the way the modern NFL has to work when Doug Peterson and the Eagles did it with Carson Wentz.
Sure.
That was like, oh, there we go. And then it was like, okay, no, everything they do, everything you're doing has to be about getting the quarterback comfortable or else it won't work.
Literally everyone's jobs are at stake based on how the quarterback plays, right? Like that is this league. And that can be hard to remember on a daily basis when you're in the weeds of things. But you have to do everything you can on an every single day basis to make sure that the quarterback is comfortable and fully believing in what you're doing. The other thing Sanchez said that was a great phraseology. He just said when some of the struggles hit for young quarterbacks, you have to make sure they're surrounded with the resources in their room, whether that's teammates or coaches, that are ladders and not crutches. And I thought that was interesting because it's not people that are just going to hold you up and keep you from falling. They're going to give you tools to grow so you can climb, you know, and it's not just, oh, you know, like, the offensive line is beat up right now, and so we're just going to take everything off your plate and we're going to just, you know, work around that, whatever it may be. You've got to find a way to continually push the quarterback toward growth, because if they stop for a little while just while you're troubleshooting everything else, then you're ultimately slowing down your development plan to break through.
I got to tell you, like, some of this stuff, as we talk about it, and it's all kind of rolling around there all week, it feels so simple historically, now that we have games in front of us again.
Right.
When it's discussed in theory, and I pointed the thumb yesterday, and I'll point it again, when it's discussed in theory in the offseason, it's a little more amorphous, because you don't think about how a team, you know, eventually gets to the point where the quarterback is throwing for a lot of yards.
Yeah.
They have to have a freaking run game. There has to be the threat of a run game. It's like the most basic of football situations. Now, people can go too far in that direction, and eventually they get drummed out of the league because it's a balance. But it's so basic. And when you look at this league and the early stories, Matt LaFleur and the Packers have always had a run game and made that a part of what they've done. And here's Jim Harbaugh and the Chargers establishing a run game with J.K. Dobbins, but it's really about the offensive line, and it's about Greg Roman, and he's done it before. And he's gifted with a quarterback with a tremendous arm. When he's going to need 300 or 350,
right,
probably going to be able to get it without a problem, especially because the run game is now established.
We've seen him have those big games. And when you have a version of the Shanahan-style offense, so much opens up when you're able to run play action with effectiveness. And you can't run play action with effectiveness until you have the threat of a running game. You can't. And so, like, that has to be a priority here Sunday in Indianapolis against the worst rushing defense in the last, 30 years through week two. Mm-hmm. And certainly in the next 4 weeks as you're building an identity, right? Like, this is identity building time. And then when you come out of the bye and you go into that last stretch of 11 games, which includes all the division games and a whole bunch of other high profile games, you better not be figuring out who you are deep into November and deep into December. You better have an idea and be evolving at all times, but you better have some things established by then.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Was it Curtis Martin who was running the ball for Sanchez? No, probably not.
I think that his rookie year, I think it might have been LaDainian Tomlinson. Was Sean Green there as well at that time? I certainly know Sanchez played with Tomlinson at some point, so wow. It might have been Tomlinson and Sean Green for one of those years.
Yeah, I'm looking at it now. The 2009 Jets, Sanchez as the quarterback, Thomas Jones was there with 1,400 yards rushing for that team. That's a damn good running back with tremendous career stats.
Some nice things here. Well, yeah.
Yes, absolutely. It's really good stuff. It just feels like some of the most basic football stuff that coordinators in their arrogance tend to get away from because they get excited about stuff. And you worry about a front office in their arrogance getting away from it too.
And then specifically as it relates to Shane Waldron, he hasn't lived this life either, right? Like, he hasn't been in Chicago where every single loss is going to create noise that you've never had to hear before, that you've never had to deflect and dodge away from. And the last thing you want from a coordinator is to start reacting based on that noise, either out of stubbornness and saying, I'll show them, or out of, oh God, like, it's panic time and we've got to change everything that I believe in, And so that's going to be a tricky road for him to go down over the next month or so as they try to figure this all out on the fly with a season that carried expectation. It carried excitement into it. And so that's what people are feeling. They don't want that excitement dashed. And Sunday felt like one of those games where you go, oh God, they're going to do it again. Are the Bears going to dash this mm-hmm. excitement that the city has built up?
That's great stuff from Dan Weider. Does that empty the Mark Sanchez notebook for you?
For the most part.
Yeah, it's a treasure trove, as always. For those who don't know, this is Spiegel & Company. We've made a hire. We've hired Dan Weider as our director of leadership, culture, and continuing education. Dan has never worked in radio, but we're going to have him in here. It's part of a multi-year project. He's going to head a committee. Expected to recommend a suite of changes for the organization to institute in the coming years.
One of the sweetest changes is lobster rolls every Tuesday, which is a nice one to suggest.
Every single Tuesday. And for those who don't know, that was a reference to a White Sox story from 45 minutes
Every
ago.
Other Tuesday, Mitch gets to partake.
Does the suite of changes come with a dessert cart? I just want to know.
Yeah, the dessert cart swings by the suite of changes.
Guys, no dessert carts.
Come
Can't
on.
Do it. Don't do
no,
it.
We can.
No,
Mitch,
no dessert carts.
Let me just
today.
Grab some Garrett's popcorn and bring it home for the wife.
It's for the clients.
Okay,
it's for the clients.
Whatever.
Please, I know it's your birthday, but get dessert at home.
Seriously, was he upset that he didn't get half a lobster roll? Did you talk to him?
Yeah. Yeah, upset is putting it lightly, brother.
No!
Yes!
No! He was pretending to be upset with me.
No! He was not pretending.
Yes, he was.
You're going to get fired, probably. We're now looking for two co-hosts on the afternoon show.
Have you looked around this place? They can't fire me. Not right now, anyway.
Yeah, you show up.
Welcome to Company and Company here on 2-6.
Co and Co.
Oh, yes. Weiderer and Ruthie Belinsky.
That was my
Company.
Second suggestion for the changes that need to be made.
Dan, did
changes.
You hear how much Ruthie Belinsky loves orgies? She said that on Thursday of last week.
I did not.
She loves them.
I want to hear that open
She
again.
Said it. I didn't say it. Those were her words.
I'm going.
None of your businesses, respectfully.
My goodness. It is 670 The Score. It is Spiegel and Company on 670 The Score. I don't know if you guys know this, but the Bears did
none of your businesses, respectfully.
Respectfully. Respectfully. Many football people think the Bears are doing things wrong. Let's hear from all of them and discuss next on The Score.
You know, Chris, it's an interesting time for this Bears franchise. Because you look in the division and Green Bay's got their guy in Jordan Love, although he's hurt. Packers getting a win at home today. We were in Detroit last week. We know what's going on with them to the NFC Championship game. Minnesota has looked pretty good even with the quarterback injury. When they were thinking about J.J. McCarthy, it's been a good start for Sam Darnold. Kevin Warren is the team president. This is a Bears team that has been around forever, right, since 1920. But they're trying to hit the reset button in some ways and do Hard Knocks and get themselves out there, get that new stadium built, they hope, on the lakefront in Chicago, and build around guys like Caleb Williams and Rome Odunze, their top 10 picks. On the offensive side, it's long been a defense-first franchise.
Pretty good summation of things from Mike Tirico. They always try to do their homework so they don't sound out of town stupid on the most popular television show of the year. Every year, Sunday Night Football is the most popular television show. I thought they sounded pretty good overall. You know, it's been a rough few days here for Bears analysis. If you missed on this show earlier today, Mark Schlereth was on, and he was great talking about Danny Parkins, talking about offensive line and stuff like that. All those national talking heads really enjoying, it seems, the sameness of the Bears story.
You know what's been interesting to me, Speaks, is a lot of times when there appear to be O-line struggles, you'll get the O-line analysts and the guys that played the game saying, well, look, this isn't all on the O-line, right? Like, there's other things that can be done to help the protection. This week, it feels like, whether it's Schlereth, whether it's Jeff Saturday, there's been a whole host of offensive line guys digging into it, Olin to some extent, and saying, whoa, this was ugly, you know, and you've got to find fixes for it collectively. And so it'd be really interesting to see how the Bears explain this going forward this week.
Let's hear our friend Boomer Esiason talking about Caleb Williams as it relates to that offensive line and all the pressure that he saw on TV on Sunday night.
Some other stuff from around the league. Sunday Night Football, Texans beat the Bears 19-13. Caleb Williams got hammered in this game. He was sacked 7 times. He threw a couple of picks. This is his head coach, Matt Eberflus.
I believe that protection is everybody. You know, protection is the tight ends. It's the runners. It's the offensive line. It's the quarterback. It's everybody involved. So we got to do a really good job with that. And taking a look at that.
And there was a play, too, where he got hit really hard, way out of bounds. They didn't even call a flag on it, too, which is interesting.
Welcome to the league, kid.
That's fair. That's true, too.
You know, you were the best athlete on the field when you played in college, and now you're finding out just how good these athletes are in the NFL.
And
probably shouldn't be playing. Obviously, I would tell you, he probably shouldn't be playing.
Well, the Texans are 2-0. The Bears are now 1-1. Elsewhere.
Probably shouldn't be playing. Is Boomer a full-on put the quarterback in mothballs and let him learn guy now? I don't remember that consistently from him. That's interesting.
Sounded like that's what he was insinuating.
Yeah, for sure.
Now look, a lot of teams try that. The only ones that are successful are ones that already have really good established quarterbacks that can do that. Green Bay succeeded because they had 2 Hall of Fame guys that could hold down the fort while you were trying to let your next guy do it. The Chiefs did it with Alex Smith, who had already proven that he could be a playoff caliber
quarterback. They'd already made the playoffs, I think, 2 or 3 years in a row at that point.
Yeah. And so the Bears tried it. They tried it with Mike Glennon. They tried it with Andy Dalton. You know, I mean, those experiments usually fail by Halloween. Mm-hmm. Right. You know what I mean?
There's usually pressure. Sometimes people write an entire album of parody songs trying to demand that it was time for Mitch to play.
I referenced the conversation that we had with Joe Burrow last month when he was in for joint practices.
Time for Mitch to play.
Sorry, go ahead.
Burrow was a guy who was anointed the starter the day he got drafted as well, and said that is 100% the philosophy that I'd advocate, because if you go the other direction, if you go with Mike Glennon, if you go with Andy Dalton, those guys are taking all the one reps for May and June and most of July and into August and all the way up to the regular season. And that rookie quarterback who you're trying to develop is losing out on those experiences. And then he's forced to play in week 6. And he hasn't had any of the time on task to build chemistry. He hasn't had any of the ability to experience those things. And so I don't know. I would push back adamantly on Boomer in that
regard. So would I. But what you have to do as a coordinator and as a head football coach is not ask your quarterback to do too much if he's not quite ready for it. It's just incredibly... It's brutal. I really want to hear these two. This is from the Texans. Texans players talking about the Bears. First, the guy who rushes the passer like a werewolf, according to Lane Johnson of the Eagles. That would be Danielle Hunter, him talking about the Bears' offensive line.
Given your history, just playing against Chicago when you were in Minnesota, is there just a little bit more passion to play against a team that you've had a lot of success against in the past?
Definitely. You know, there's definitely some history there. You know, I knew what to expect from some of the players. You know, some of the schematics, even though I think it's a different offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
But some of the players, I know how they play, so I gave tips to all my guys on the defensive line. So.
Whoa. He gave tips to all of his guys on the defensive line because it was that easy for him to predict?
Well, it feels like he's got some experience playing against the Bears. I got to say, Sunday was the best I've ever seen Danielle Hunter look in person. Like, he was tearing around that football field for the entire night. And whatever they figured out, the wrinkles that they turned loose to let him have the kind of night he had, it was impressive.
Both of them, man.
Right.
With Will Anderson on the other side. Anderson, I said yesterday, Will Anderson, he moves like a point guard darting through the lane of a basketball team.
Yeah.
Just like light on his feet and like doom, 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 doom. And just being able to pop around like that with a guy that big, that's not supposed to be able to happen.
They were on the turf and they were flying around. And then once they got to the point where they could send 5, 6, 7 rushers at times, it was lights out for the Bears.
Here is the former Bear himself. This is Mario Edwards talking about Caleb, and I'm interested to hear this from the description.
Man, he's slippery. He's very elusive. You got to break down and tackle him, and he's real good with his legs.
Seems like on third down, you guys put a lot of – you overloaded that one side a couple of different times. Is that something that you guys saw early on was working and just kind of kept going through it?
It was one of those things that was working, and coach just kept calling, and we kept putting it on him.
Did you sense that it bothered him at all, you know, to start getting a little gun-shy? Not like afraid to get hit, but just that it's affecting him the way he's playing because you're hitting him that often?
Definitely. Once I started seeing some guys put some hits on him, he was getting slow back to the huddle. Also, too, once we covered him up, he couldn't see. So he started panicking. So once he started panicking, we knew that's what we had to do.
Damn, panicking, and slow back to the huddle. Pressure burst pipes, right? He's human in that regard.
I would agree with the slow back to the huddle analysis. I would not agree with the panicking part. I thought actually one of the more impressive parts of rewatching that game was how in it Caleb was till the very last snap from a standpoint of not showing panic or being defeated. You know, he took some hits in that game. Not just, you know, I got hit on that play. Some hits that left you a little bit shaken after you get up. And he still seemed to show that mental fortitude, the physical toughness to keep going back there and doing things. So I don't know. Did you see panic in what you watched?
I don't feel like I saw panic. I did see a couple things that I wanted to get your take on. Now that you've done the rewatch, so you saw it in person and saw the body language and covered it like you do, and you did the rewatch, I did see a couple things. This will be a good final thing to do on our Tuesday before I turn the page Wednesday. Let me ask you about a couple things when we come back on 670 The Score.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first 3 grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Allo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Spiegel and Company for one more segment here on 670 The Score. The Cubs play the Oakland A's again tonight. 18 hits last night, 9 runs for the Cubs. A tremendous offensive showing. We had Nico Horner on earlier today. He was great, as always, was Nico Horner. By the way, you should download the Odyssey app, search for 670 The Score, and tap follow to receive alerts on our Bears coverage. And if you can't get enough, check out the Take the North podcast with David Haw and Dan Weiderer, breaking down the biggest storylines ahead of the Week 3 game against Indy. Follow Take the North on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. Last week, last Monday, it's a Take the North Live.
That was fun.
That was cool.
Yeah, we're going to do a few more of those as the year goes on.
I think you should.
Yeah.
That was really neat. It was a really neat extension to our Bears Monday. So very, very cool that you did that. By the way, keep listening for your chance to be part of a live studio audience for Mully and Haw's September 25th broadcast from 5:30 to 10 a.m. at the Blue Cross Blue Shield Performance Stage. Mully and Haw will be joined by Bulls head coach Billy Donovan in studio during the 8 a.m. hour that morning. It's all brought to you by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois through it all. Okay, so Mario Edwards said he thought Caleb Williams was panicky. I wouldn't say panicky necessarily. Maybe I'm just getting used to the speed with which he points out blitzes and moves people around pre-snap. It's really fast. Came off to me a little fidgety as I watched it. Maybe it's because it was also at the same time Chris Collinsworth was praising him for ways that I wasn't sure he fully should be praised just yet. But anyway, do his body movements when he's pointing all that stuff out look fast to you at all?
I think they may have been a little bit more emphatic on Sunday because everything was signaled as opposed to vocal, right? Like, and so I think there were a lot of even the offensive linemen on Sunday seemed like they were being more demonstrative with some of the signals they were giving one another just to communicate in the noise there.
Heightened on the road as opposed to what we saw the week before.
They had 4 false start penalties the other day, and several players in the locker room talked about the cadence being an issue. That's a silent cadence in that building, and so I'm curious what some of the hiccups were with that within that game.
Okay. But it took me a minute to try and look and figure out exactly what I'm seeing, and I wasn't sure whether it was panicking or maybe just heightened because of the road atmosphere.
I'll keep an eye on that one.
And then this isn't panicky, but it's just, I think, what happens when you get hit a lot.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't step fully in on a couple of throws, mm-hmm. and I know he's got great arm talent, and he doesn't have to sometimes when he's off platform have perfect mechanics, and that's all well and good. But the first interception to Stingley,
yeah.
he absolutely short-legged that one, not stepping fully into a pocket that was actually there enough to be had.
The first third down of the third quarter as well, it's a play where pressure came a little bit, and he climbed the pocket and then slid out to his left. DeAndre Carter was breaking over the top there, and Caleb talked about it after the game.
That was an overthrow. That's the one he brought up.
It was an overthrow. I brought it up, tried to get him there, and he struggled to get to the exact play for a minute or two, but eventually got there. Rewatching it, he kind of skipped through the air as he was throwing it. It was not great throwing mechanics, and there certainly wasn't a strong base under it, and you misfired by a yard and a half. He acknowledged that probably goes for a touchdown if he makes an accurate throw there because of the angle the safety was taking to come down on it. Those are little things, right, that change a lot for an entire week following, if you're able to make those things. I'm curious to see. That was one of the things I wrote down in my margin after the rewatch, was just how much he identified. Are there some easy fix mechanically to get a couple things unlocked that then sort of turn the temperature down on how much this offense is actually struggling?
Yeah, no, it really wouldn't have taken too many plays to change the tide of that thing.
It's usually 3 or 4 game, right? Like that, if you can figure out a way to hit those instead of miss on them, all of a sudden everything is different. But that's the tightrope in the NFL.
You had an idea earlier, which I thought was awesome, about when you get a chance to talk to Shane Waldron, maybe this time you could, this year, you could submit a bunch of plays through PR and have him ready to discuss those plays so he could, because by Thursday it feels late.
Yeah.
Why don't they swap the quarterback and the coordinator's back? Why don't you go back to Wednesday coordinators and Thursday quarterback? You just talked to the quarterback after the game on Sunday.
Or we'll go Monday coordinators. Let's just really shake it up here as the director of leadership, and what else am I under director of?
Oh yeah,
now?
Sorry.
Team building and continuing
education,
continuing film education,
leadership, culture, and continuing education.
On missed passing plays.
It's because of your background as a Navy SEAL.
A lot of people don't know about that.
Yeah, including you.
You just brought that up.
Yeah, you didn't know about it. But I'm sorry, it's about your background as a SEAL, not a Navy SEAL. But you just did that to get a free meatball sandwich at a basketball game. I know that's true. All right, but you're not going to have that. You get the quarterback tomorrow. What do you want to ask the quarterback tomorrow?
I do want to know how he's doing physically. he was beat up and felt it a little bit on Sunday night. Is he fully back from that? I want to know if there are some things that he identified within his own mechanics or his own play that are quick fixes, the easiest fixes, and then just kind of getting a sense for how this offense can put whatever that was Sunday behind them quickly. You know, you want to have your quarterback be the guy that knows some of those answers, even as he leans into coaches and others to help provide them. You want to hear it from him up at that dais that we're good. We got this all under control. And so I'd like to know if he feels that way, and if so, why?
Yeah, it's interesting. Can I add something to it?
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people asking questions. Maybe our own Mark Rohde will ask about it or whatever.
He's going to get in a shout off with Jason Leeser to get that question in.
Always. The vibes and the body language that you were talking about that you noticed in that locker room, as it correlates possibly with what Jalen Johnson told us about the humanity of people on that defense starting to feel like, oh man, is this the same? We got to be patient with an offense again. I thought things are going to be better. It's a rookie quarterback. Is he aware of that dynamic? Has he noticed it? And have there been conversations about that dynamic at all?
That's an interesting one for sure. Caleb, just for the listeners, that's the first time I've ever covered Caleb after a loss, obviously.
Yeah.
And he was sitting in front of his locker stall in a way that reminded me of when I covered NCAA basketball teams that lost in the tournament. You know, it was just that stare ahead state of shock in the immediate aftermath of the loss, where it's just like, ugh. Like,
he looked that way on the bench on Sunday night.
It looked painful. Like, it looked like a painful experience in the way that it went down. So that's certainly a topic that's in play, I think.
Yeah, because it's interesting, because obviously for him, he's got to react however he needs to and however he can. But he knows he's a leader, and he's expected to at least portray a certain kind of calm that those guys need to see.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and sometimes leadership is also what'd you say, portraying at least a certain level of frustration that lets those guys know it bothers you just as much as it bothers them. You know, and it wasn't manufactured. It was definitely sincerely bothered
for sure.
Caleb. You could tell that, and he gathered himself by the time he came to the press conference. But you can feel it in a guy when he's really bothered by a performance.
We've heard nothing but great things about his work ethic, about his coachability, about his willingness to admit fault and try to get better. And that's the stuff that makes you feel optimistic, frankly.
You tell me if you agree with this. This feels like it's been a wild week, and it's only 5:56 on Tuesday, right? Like, it just feels like there's been a lot drained here from this city over the last 48 hours.
Yeah, you know, it's not untrue, and it's because of how familiar that thing felt on Sunday night. Because even those of us who have pushed against the cynicism of decades.
Yeah.
Because these are different people and this is a different regime and it's a different guy and all of that. When the thing feels like something you've experienced for decades, it's
part of the equation.
It's part of the deal, man. Part of the deal. Dan Witter has been part of the equation. Thanks for being in company.
Thank you for bringing me in. Thank you for the $45 lobster roll.
You are very welcome. I hope it was worth every penny. Thank you to Shane Reardon, the most unique profile of an executive producer in the history of this business. He made the most delicious lobster roll I have perhaps ever had in my life.
Overcharged for it, but it was great.
It was great.
Just you, Dan.
It was absolutely great. Thank you to Chris Tannehill, the sap of all saps, doing a great job making us sound better than we are, providing incredible content. Thank you to Mitch Rosen.
Real quick, me and Tanny on the field at Wrigley tomorrow. They're doing like a little thing for the Cubs Radiothon. Tanny and I will be there pregame. If you're at Wrigley, look for us on the field.
How cool is that?
We will be there.
That's awesome. I'm really glad you guys are out there to represent the production of the Cubs for a Cure Radiothon, which was an absolutely tremendous undertaking. You guys both deserve to be there. That is awesome. If you're going to be at Wrigley, we'll look for those guys.
And happy birthday, Matt Spiegel.
That's
everyone, DM me. I'll give you a cell. Call him tonight.
Happy birthday, Mike.
Oh, there it is. Thank you, Harry Carey. Thank you very much. Nowhere else I'd like to spend my birthday than with you guys. Except, of course, a lot of other places. Going to be picked up now by my wife and child, one of my children, and we're going to go get dinner. Very excited about that. Have a wonderful evening, everybody. Thanks so much for our guests, Nico Horner and Mark Schlereth, for being on the show. For Dan Wiederer, I am Matt Spiegel. Thanks for listening to Spiegel & Company. The Cubs are next on The Score.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, oh, oh.
O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.